there's mightiness that comes in small numbers, and there's mightiness that comes in small things, and there are small things in life that give me joy, and children's books are one of those. And so this week we begin a journey through one of my favorites that we're using for our stewardship campaign. And Wednesday nights isn't going to be about stewardship and another night for asking you to give money, I promise. But it's going to be our night to take a little bit different of a perspective of this book. And so before I read, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Tonight we begin with what I'm going to call the first chapter of The Giving Tree. I hope you all know this book. If not, I'm really glad that you're here on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings to hear this book. So once there was a tree, and Sunday mornings Yaya will be a better reader than me, but Wednesday nights you get me. And she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide-and-go-seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree, and the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older, and the tree was often alone. Then one day, the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I'm too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money? Look, the boy's like a pastor. Can you give me money so we can do things, right?" "Okay." "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I only have leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city, and then you will have money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away, and the tree was happy. Tonight I want to stew on this very first gift that the tree gives the boy because of how much the tree loves the boy. And that first gift that the tree gives is her apples. I mean, the obvious gift of a fruit tree, and obviously the tree is an apple tree, so what else would the tree give first but the apples, okay? Sweet, juicy apples that as a little boy, the boy loved to eat and would give him nourishment, but now has the ability for him to sell those apples to be able to make money. What a wonderful gift the tree could give the boy. Well, let's think about these apples. I thought about these apples, and I thought about these fruits, and I said, let's go to the scriptures and let's Google fruits in the scriptures. And boy, what did I get? But a plethora of scriptures implying everything under the sun of what fruits can be for us and what we need and what we don't need. And all the way going back to Genesis in that first sin. But then I got into the New Testament after I had to kind of wash off the Old Testament and fruits within it. And I started to stew on different kinds of fruits as I was reading these scriptures. And I'm going to get us to those scriptures, but I'm going to take a little journey to get there first. And I thought about three kinds of fruits. And the first fruits that I thought of as I was reading these scriptures and seeing what it was implying is, I thought about these baskets up in the front. How beautiful these baskets are. These baskets of food, right? They've taunted my kids. My kids, the first time they came, they thought, ooh, there's fruit up in the front, and every single one of my kids has tried to pick the fruit from those baskets. But you know what? You know about fruit like this. It looks really pretty, and it looks great, and it almost looks too perfect, right? And then you get up close, and then it looks even more perfect, and then you get super close, and then you touch it. And worse yet, if you ever tried to take a bite out of it, you're really going to get surprised, aren't you? Because when you really get to the heart of it, it looks beautiful on the outside, but when you get down to it, it's just fake, isn't it? I thought about these fake fruits, and it took me to the book of 1 John. And it took me to the book of 1 John because 1 John, right at the very beginning of that book, deals with people just like those fruits, those fake people, those people that, you know, from far away look really great. They really look like people you want to be friends with and people you want to be. That person, they're just living that great life, aren't they? I mean, that right there is what I want to be in. And you get a little bit closer and, you know, they look even better in what you see and how they behave and the things that they say. And then when you get up close enough to be able to touch them and really experience who they are, what do you get? But you discover deep down inside, really, they're just fake, aren't they? Everything looks great on the outside, but when you get to the inside, it's not at all what you think you're going to get. And 1 John deals with this when he says, if you say that you are walking in the light, but you hate your brother, you're really still in darkness. That, to me, exemplifies that fake fruit. The person that says, you know, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I love people, that, you know, they're the ones in the front row with the hands up, just fully worshiping, and when you look at them, you think, you know, here's just an amazing person right there. That popular person in school, that person that seems to do everything right at work, that when you look at it, it just seems like the total package is right there. But really, deep down inside, what's most important to them is them. So often that's what's creating the fake, is what's on the inside is those selfish desires and me first. And why are they looking so good? Because they're making themselves look good so that people like them and admire them and lift them up and make them look even better. But when you get deep down inside, they love themselves more than other people, and it just, like John said, it keeps them in the darkness. And when you try to be friends with them, when you open your lives to them, it really becomes a great disappointment. But that's not the only kind of fruit I thought of. Let's not focus on the fake people, the hypocrites, those ones that Jesus says, these just are not who I want around me. But then the second one I had to think of, I had to think about the fact that I've been buying a lot of berries lately, okay? I love berries. I love eating berries. I love putting them in my pancakes. I love making sauces out of them. I love putting them in milkshakes. I mean, there's so many things you can do with berries. But I've been having this problem lately because I've been buying these packs of berries and I take them home and it seems like even before I'm able to use them, I open it up and ew, gross, I just brought them home and they're already rotten. Well, guess how many things you can do with rotten fruit? Pretty much zero, right? I mean, rotten fruit, it doesn't provide nourishment. It just starts rotting the things around it. It starts spreading from one berry to the next, from one apple to another, and just seems like this disease destroying things around it. Have you met those kinds of people? Those kinds of people that what's going on in their lives is just kind of rotten. And they're like those berries. They're like the fruit. They started out good. They started out with good intentions. They started out as good people. But then something happens and inside just kind of starts rotting. It might start with unhappiness. It might start with disappointment. It might start with just a moment where they snapped, but it just starts rotting them from the inside out. Now, I found this when I went to the book of Galatians. When I went to the book of Galatians, and it talks about the influences of this world that rots us. It talks about the anger. It talks about the bitterness. It talks about the greediness. It talks about all of these attributes of us that Jesus says don't be that. But the thing I see about all of those characteristics that Paul's telling you don't live like the world in these things, I realize all of them can be disease spreading like that rot and mold on fruit. When I'm angry, when I'm bitter, I can absolutely spread it to people around me. If I'm grouchy enough, if I'm telling lies, if I'm stealing things, if I'm just kind of black on the inside with what I'm doing, it can so easily spread to those around me and I can influence them just like the mold on that fruit. And there's absolutely nothing you can do with rotten fruit except throw it away once it's totally gone bad. But I thought, I can't stay on this. I got to keep reading. And when you keep reading in Galatians, what's the great thing? Paul says, don't do, and he gives this big list of long and complicated words in some ways. But then he says, live with the fruits of the Spirit. He says, these are the way God wants you to live. And I love that he uses fruit as the example. What is it that grows from us that can provide for other people like the tree provided for the boy? And it says, goodness and gentleness and mercy and self-control and patience and love and kindness and gentleness and peace? Did I say peace? There's 9 of them. Now here's the good fruits. Here's the things that are God's Spirit living in and through us that not only nourishes us, but has a whole lot of uses for how it can nourish other people. I mean, think about it. When I talked about those berries, I gave you at least 5 different things I can do with them. When I have these fruits of the Spirit, there are a handful or a full list of ways that I can use each one of those that are going to bless me in my life, but are also going to bless the people around me, that's going to feed and nourish them, that's going to take care of them, that's going to be infectious in the good way, unlike that rotten fruit way. I mean, here we get to be people of purpose. Here we get to be people of goodness. Here we get to be people of nourishment. Here we get to be God's fruit in this world that just keeps giving, not because we're forcing it, not because we're supposed to, but when it's of the Spirit, like Paul says, it's because it's just what naturally happens in us and comes through us to the people around us. And that's the kind of fruit I want to be. I know it's easy to be that rotten fruit and just kind of stew in that place. I know it can be easy to be the fake fruit and try to put on what we're supposed to be without the inside ever being changed. But God says, be my good fruit. Be my Spirit. Be my nourishment in this world. Be the generosity that I need you to be. My friends, will you pray with me? And then I'll send us to these. God, you give us all kinds of amazing fruits to be able to eat. Fruit that we can pick off trees and pull from vines and up from the ground of the earth that you give us. Fruits that nourish us. Fruits that make us smile with their sweet and tartness all in one bite. Fruits that have so many uses. And here each one is your bundled up little gift that you have given us on this earth. And we just ask that we can be just the same. That we can just be bundles of goodness, sweetness for the world, that you gift through our life, that you gift through the way that we live it. Help us to exemplify your fruits of the Spirit, to work on living that way that you have designed us to live, so that we can be nourishers, so that we can be ones to spread your sweetness of your Spirit to those who are around us. For we pray to live in just this way, so that we can be your good and genuine children on this earth. For all this we pray in your holy name. Amen.